Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Hi, Nina. It's fantastic to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much for coming on. We know you here at Label Sessions as an expert in customer success within the software as a service or SaaS industry. Before we dive into some questions and kind of pick your brain a little bit, Oona, could you give our listeners, you know, a quick introduction about yourself?
Yes, and thanks for having me. So I've got about just over 10 years experience in SaaS. Before that, I worked in change management in the UK central government. And then I started out my SaaS career at a startup called Yammer, which was a leading enterprise social network at the time before platforms like Slack came along. And I started out as a customer success manager there, working across customers, organizations of all different shapes and sizes across Europe. And then we were acquired by Microsoft. And so from there, I went on to do similar role at Microsoft for quite a lot of large enterprise customers, particularly in the UK, and for a broader suite of tools across Microsoft's Office 365, all tools really helping to drive greater collaboration and communication in companies. And then from there, I went on to a company called CultureAmp. It's an employee feedback and experience platform. And there I built and led the customer success team for the EMEA region. So that's Europe, Middle East and Africa, based out of the London office. And I spent most of my career based in London in the UK, but a couple of years back, relocated over to the US, where I'm also a citizen. So currently living here and working in a technical and business consulting role at the moment.
Diving into, you know, all things customer success, I wonder, you know, it's something that's really crucial to all. You know, it could be tech startups, scale-ups, but even, you know, established companies. I guess our first question is kind of to you is, customer success management, you know, everything after customer acquisition, or is it a particular kind of end stage? Where does that sit?
Great question. You know, customer success is crucial for a SaaS business because that business model is really based on your customers continuing to use your product and continuing to renew, you know, their subscription to your software and your services. So it is really crucial. However, I would say that, you know, every part of that startup or scale up or more established company is really, they're all driving towards ultimately the customer's success. And so a couple of other functions that I might highlight to you are, for example, product and engineering. So they are, you know, building the best possible product for the customer, for the customer's needs, for their use cases, and they're continuing to iterate on that product with ultimately the customer's success in mind and the customer achieving that business value from using your product. Also, other teams like the customer support team. So they're really that first line of support for customer end user needs or technical needs. And then your marketing team, you know, your marketing team are sharing the successes of the customer out in the market through case studies or through spotlighting customers at events, that, you know, at industry events. And so what's really important for customer success managers and customer success teams is that they partner well with those teams as well. And because the customer success team, they are like kind of the pioneers and at the forefront of really having those customer needs as a priority. They can really partner well and effectively with those other teams to keep that kind of customer priority and kind of voice of the customer as a real driving force.
So it sounds like you're there the whole step of the journey from beginning to the end, from almost pre-gating the customer, making sure the product is right, to, you know, giving feedback and making sure that they fully understand all the stuff that the company has to offer. It's really, you're talking to a bit of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to be a good collaborator.
And I wonder, could you talk us through, you know, the thoughts that you have on, you know, what are the really important foundations to have this kind of customer success management?
There were four things that came to my mind really with this question. The first is around your value proposition. So what is really the mission of this startup or scale-up and its product? What are you really helping your customers to achieve? And what is that real value that your customers gain from using your product? So as a customer success leader, you really always want this first and foremost in your mind when you're developing out your vision and your strategies. And you want it to remain there as a key foundation that informs your ongoing decisions. And the same for customer success managers on the ground. Like, ultimately, they need to be driving that customer to that business value outcome, because otherwise the customer is not going to stick around. So I think that's the key one. What is that value proposition? How do you help customers realize that? The second key foundation is the customer experience. So we are always looking to build and iterate on something that is providing the best experience for your customers. Now, the sorts of things that come to mind for most people are, you know, that the product is relatively easy to use. It's user-friendly. It doesn't require like lots of training manuals and things to use. You know, ultimately, you want to be going to space where it's like quite a delightful experience for end users to use it. And the best is that like they love using your product. So what's the experience that, you know, your buyers and your end users have when they're engaging with the product, but also with, I'd say more broadly, like your brand and also the team? And so you've got to be thinking of all those elements when you're thinking about the customer experience. You know, what's their experience like when they engage with your support team or when they have calls with your customer success managers? Again, we want it to be a positive, like helpful, as easy as possible experience for them. And so again, you know, for your customer success managers, you want them to be good relationship builders, good listeners, you know, good coaches. So I think that one is really key. The third one is product adoption. So if your customer is not using your product widely across their business, they're not going to realize business value and they're not going to continue to use it. So how do we help the customer and all employees across the organization, you know, this is in my B2B context, to use the product? And so this starts with building, again, a great product that clients love to use. But it's also, you know, when I think of customer success managers, you know, they need to be effective trainers, you know, at training end users in using the product. And then another element there that's important for customer success teams is that they measure how far employees are actually using the product. And we can call this like a health score. So our healthiest customers are using the product widely and effectively across as much of the business as possible. And you need to be able to measure that to then really know how healthy your customers are. Then you can get a sense of customers that are not so healthy or that are not adopting the product. And you can really focus in on them and help them and learn as well. You know, is there a gap in our product or our service that's preventing product adoption? And then the final one is around really helping the customer to understand what the return on investment is. We need to be able to demonstrate this. Now, the best ways I've done this and seen teams do this is helping the customer be really clear on what their vision and goals are for using your product at the beginning, and kind of codifying that, like writing that down and having that as a kind of guiding force for them as they go through deploying your software. You also want to have some clear what we call use cases. So how are specific teams or individuals going to use the product, and what are we expecting the positive outcome to be? And then help them to measure that. The best SaaS products help them measure that in the product. They have analytics and benchmarks and things directly in the product customer can use. But then also, I think the most effective customer success teams tie into existing metrics that the customer uses in their business, like sales results, for example, and ties into those metrics as well. So they have real tangible measurement to say, because we started using your product, we achieved these results. And ultimately, it's improved our bottom line. And this could be hard to do, but it's really important.
And it sounds like there's going to be a lot of back and forth between the customers and kind of the company. You know, it's going from, you know, these are the tools that we've built in, we're using it, and also for them, this is our experience. Could you, perhaps like something that could be improved would be this. I wonder, what's the split between you talking to both?
Do you mean in terms of the split in talking to customers and then talking internally with other teams?
Yes, kind of like going from feedback from customers to the company, or, you know, the company going, these are our full things that we offer. Could you tell the customer they're not fully using it?
Yeah, I think, you know, what comes to my mind here is like, do we have effective feedback loops from the customer? Yes, we should do. And the customer success manager or kind of team there is a good avenue through which that can happen. Yes, you'll have key touch points where, you know, a customer success manager is like guiding and coaching the customer, but perhaps also highlighting, say, some of these analytics in the platform to say, you know, these analytics are showing me that you're using the product to kind of 2/3 of its capacity. And I know from working with you as well that we've, you know, successfully launched the product to 2/3 of the business and this has gone well, but these are some of the challenges. These are some of the gaps. And then this becomes a discussion as well. Like these are typically a kind of bit more of a strategic touch point. And you might have, say, once or twice in a 12-month period with a customer, kind of depending on the size. And in that, you definitely want to be inviting like discussion and feedback from the customer, like what's been their experience on their side. There are things that the customer can control and drive at their side to kind of drive even better usage, but they're definitely going to have feedback for you as a team and as a product. You know, we felt that there were some gaps in the product here, or we had some feedback from end users that this bit of the product was hard to use, or they perhaps were really looking for this additional feature. This is really valuable feedback that then you can kind of take away and feed it back to product. But it might even be that they have feedback about your particular services from the customer success side. We actually wanted some more training, or we wanted training in a different way. So yeah, this is like a discursive session. It's a really helpful way to you know, to kind of celebrate their success so far, but like identify gaps on both sides so we can improve product adoption, so we can improve our ongoing working relationship, you know, and really partner for the long term.
And do you find this, it's almost gets harder as companies get bigger? I'm assuming you're probably working with your sales, product, marketing, and even the support teams, like you're saying. Are those teams getting bigger as the company gets bigger? Or is, I don't know, how does that kind of look like on your end?
It's such a great question. It's such an important one. Because startups like do want to grow and scale. And, you know, the thing that's for certain when that happens is things are going to change. Like there's going to be change, and you want to get ahead of that. The sorts of things that come to my mind with this question are like, you know, because I've been in both. I've been in earlier stage startups. I've been in when there's like fast scaling going on and fast growth. And then I've also been in more established, quite large tech companies. You know, in those earlier days and you're less established, it's a much smaller team. A customer success manager probably in those days wears many hats, like they don't have many other resources to lean on. This can be great fun just to start with. And you get to learn heaps about the product. You learn a lot about the customer. You're getting to like flex lots of muscles and develop lots of skills, but you might be, you know, running a kickoff with a customer, you're training a customer, but then you're also doing like frontline support for end users. You're like technically troubleshooting, you might be doing some stuff in the back end of the product. You might then be inviting your customers to like a marketing event, you know, and you're like managing all of the invites. And so there's a kind of, there could be a lot going on. And I think it can be a lot of fun and there's a lot of learning that then informs like how you properly scale, but it's more reactive. It's less sophisticated. You probably don't have very specific, like sophisticated data repositories. You can't really analyze your book of business very well. So that needs to change for you to be kind of more sophisticated in your approach and for you to really, I think, get deeper with customers. So as you grow and scale, like you have more resources. So for example, you'll build out a support team. So then a customer success team doesn't need to do that frontline support anymore. So they can have more and kind of deeper strategic conversations with customers. Or you then start to have like a marketing team. So they can take on the marketing tasks. And what the customer success manager can really focus in on is, you know, which of my customers does it make sense to really like look at doing some marketing with? You know, where are some great stories that we can get out there? Where do we have stakeholders that are really eager to like get out there and, you know, share their story? So there's lots of advantages there, but there are risks as you scale and mistakes will be made, like, because that's just inevitable. But I think the things are to focus on is like retain that focus on that customer experience, like I was saying, is such an important foundation. Because what will happen as you scale is like what tends to happen is your smaller customers might not get so much face-to-face time or one-on-one time. So how do you continue to ensure that, like, say, an SMB customer continues to have a great experience and continues to feel kind of part of your customer community and brand? You can really lean into like good scaled approaches around, I think, customer community. Both my time at Yammer and CultureAmp, like they built really great customer communities where customers felt like they were part of the brand and that they belonged to something special. And so these are like, they can be challenges and risks, but also great opportunities as you scale. So yes, it's both like harder and easier. Yeah. You know.
Okay, when that last bit that you were saying, would you say that was kind of your best top tip? Or I guess kind of what advice would you give someone who's, you know, stepping into a customer success leadership role?
Yes, that last point there around building exciting and meaningful customer communities. Yes, I think that's great. But thinking, you know, thinking about coming into a customer success leader role, you know, the things that come to mind are you're going into that role for a reason. You're probably like a really strong customer success manager, really strong individual contributor, you know, build great relationships with customers, etc. Probably quite a strategic thinker, analytical, etc. So I think, you know, do remember why you're there, but your role is really going to change. I think, you know, when I was reflecting on this question, I think it's really important to have some key foundations there for yourself. Of like, what is your why for doing this role? You're probably really passionate about customer success and you want to be really passionate about the product and the company that you're working for as well, and making sure that your values align there, you know, whether it's like a new company that you've come into or perhaps like you've been promoted into role. I think all of that's really key because as a leader, and particularly in like a growing startup, it can get overwhelming because there's a lot coming your way. There's problems, there's opportunities, there's collaboration with lots of different teams. You're suddenly becoming a people manager, perhaps for the first time. And that takes on much more of your role, which you wouldn't have had any of that as an individual contributor. And if you have your why and your values like really clear, I think then you can lean back into them in times of uncertainty or overwhelm. But yeah, you know, customer success leaders, like I said, like you're collaborating with sales, with marketing, with product. So you've got to be strong there, but a lot can kind of come your way. I think you need to be a good coach or really start to develop that muscle. I really noticed that when I became a leader that I needed to really lean in there. You can't just be giving answers to your direct reports. You've got to coach them to learn for themselves and help them grow. And then you've got to trust your team. And there's an element of stepping back, you know, after you have set like a clear vision, clear goals, and you've got a way of measuring that. And then kind of stepping back somewhat and letting the team deliver. And then I think it's also really important as a customer success leader that you don't get disconnected from customers. So, you know, you don't get too stuck like in the numbers or in the strategy or in the people management, but that you continue to maintain and develop relationships. Perhaps it's more with like the senior leadership at your customer base. Or you develop kind of voice of the customer programs that are a little bit more strategic. I think that's really key that you kind of that you don't lose that. And then yeah, you know, take on board feedback, welcome it, like use it as an opportunity to grow. But also for you personally, I think doing things that help you maintain like your self-awareness and like getting some support and advice from others. So it might be that you work with a coach. It might be that you have, you know, a mentor or just someone like that you trust that's perhaps a bit more senior and experienced than you. I would say both outside your organization as well as inside, because it could just give you some outside perspective.
On that point, you said the kind of a lot of people focus on, you know, data and that side, but also that you should also not forget the relationship side. And I also think kind of with that, usual data versus kind of more relationship side, I always think about kind of qualitative and quantitative parts. And that goes with customer success. And also you mentioned about, you know, managing a team and giving them feedback as well. But is there a secret to balancing this qualitative and quantitative feedback? How do you tend to approach that?
Yeah, I love that question because it's come up in a number of ways in my career. You know, I think firstly, when I think of the work I've done with customers and this sort of like highlighting their ROI, I've always, again, wanted customers to have a balance of like the numbers, the quantitative data, but then also the stories, like the qualitative. So I like to work with customers in that way. So like have some numbers, but then spotlight some employees that share their stories on like how much their value they've gained from using the product. I then also think of like when I've had feedback as a leader, like I worked for an employee feedback company, you know, that was our product. And so we had a great platform to use that gave us like a whole breadth of feedback, you know, from peers, from direct reports, from managers. That was presented both like in a quantitative way, which is really great for seeing themes. You know, a majority are giving you this type of feedback, perhaps a minority are giving you this type of feedback. I think that gives you some important information. But then also comments. And so comments can add color and nuance that you can't see in you know, in charts, for example, of you know, based on numeric data. But also, you know, sometimes people can over index on like a more negative comment. And you do need to remember that typically like that's probably coming still from a minority, but it will stick in your mind as like something much stronger. So you just need to kind of, particularly as a leader, like kind of remember that, just try and take it on graciously, but like keep it within context.
The leaders that kind of you're talking about and always reflecting on your journey as well. For the people who are thinking about career moves or moving up into the leadership within the space, what key skills kind of do you pick out are required for success in a customer success role?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'll emphasize some that you would typically see in a job description, but some not so much because they can be harder to convey in some ways. Like the first one is emotional intelligence and good relationship building, because you really need to be able to do that with your customers. You need to be able to build effective long-term working relationships with customers, you know, even in the face of customers that, you know, perhaps don't like you or they're frustrated about something to do with your product and they're taking it out on you. And so you need to be able to just like ride through all of that. And that's not always easy. And so like seek support, obviously, but you need to be strong there. And on that kind of EQ side as well, is I think you need to be able to read cues from your customers that can inform you of things that are perhaps going on, but like are not explicit, particularly when it comes to like identifying risk in a customer. So that's really key. I think organizational skills are, you know, really good, strong organizational skills are essential for a customer success manager. Like you're typically managing a lot of customers, you're supporting customers on big important rollouts, you know, you're helping to keep them organized, you've got to analyze your book of business and flag where there are risks, you've got to provide feedback internally to product, you know, work with support. So there's a lot going on in the role, and particularly in earlier stage startups as well, like they're not as well resourced, and so you just that's just part of the role. So you've got to be organized and kind of you've got to enjoy like being really productive. So I think that's key. I think you've got to be analytical and a strategic thinker. So you need to be able to look across your customer base and know how to prioritize, like who needs the most help right now. Also, where are their risks? And also, where are their opportunities? Where could we expand our footprint in certain customers, for example? You need to be a good coach. So you're coaching customers, like you don't own the change that the customer makes. You coach them to do that. So to deploy your software. So that's all about asking open questions, listening, reflecting, and obviously still doing your role and doing your part but helping the customer to kind of do their part as well. You need to be strong enough from a product perspective to be able to train customers. So you don't need to be super, super technical, but strong enough to be able to train you know, to talk confidently about the product and its uses. And then I think the final one I'd emphasize is that you need to be quite savvy with like kind of change management approaches. So a lot of this is around communications, but you need to be able to advise customers on the importance of the communications they use internally to kind of launch the product and to convey like that ROI that we talked about. So you just need to be kind of savvy enough to be able to do that work with customers. And this is particularly for larger customers. I think that really comes into play for your enterprise customers.
Always what I'm hearing is the relationship side is a huge part of it.
Yes.
Obviously. But then you also kind of always hint at being able to step back a little bit to, yeah, have the perspective, I guess, and then be able to communicate that.
Yeah, it's so right. I think, yeah, really being able to step back and understand at a broad level what's going on in one customer and then met perhaps 20 customers, 50 customers, depending on like the segment that you work with.
Fantastic. With that, I know that we're running out of time. So I just kind of wanted to say thank you for your insights into all things, you know, customer success. I know that we could talk about kind of each individual question I asked in more detail and go on and on about each specific one. But it's been great to get a nice kind of, not just an introduction, but a little bit more than that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Something that we do on the podcast, we've heard a lot about kind of your expertise, but we also want to know a little bit about you, kind of like who Nina is and kind of how you think. So I have four quick fire questions for you. In another life, if you weren't doing customer success, what do you think your career would be?
Singer.
Oh, go to karaoke song?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. More than a feeling.
I like it. What was the first work thing that you were really proud of?
Yeah, it was the work I did in UK government. I worked on a large transformation project, and I worked with some management consultants too. And I really learned a lot about change management in large organizations. It was just, I just learned so much. And it was kind of really like my first main job out of university. And I'm really grateful for that time.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Life is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think I really only started to heed that in more recent years. To the younger folks out there, please try and take that on board earlier.
I know it was quick fire questions, but what do you almost mean by that?
Like not burning, just not burning out, just not trying to do too much too soon, you know, and also that there are, I'm learning this, like that there are kind of phases to life too. And so really enjoying like the phase that you're in, and it's like, it can sometimes be hard to let go of things from previous phases, but know that there is like more good to come. And I think it's really important in careers too. And we can be thinking of, you know, we're trying to run up a corporate ladder perhaps, or, you know, whatever it might be, and we're in a hurry. And so perhaps just taking a bit of a step back there, pacing yourself.
I have one last question for you on kind of our list of questions. It's a question that everyone on the podcast is asked, with lots of different results to it. So, Nina, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you and why?
Yeah, it's a funny question. I hope 10, although I don't know if people would say that about me. What I like to think of this question meaning is that you're unique, and I think everyone is. I think though people can find it hard to be their authentic self, like in certain spaces or in many spaces. I think perhaps the society, we're getting a little more open about this though, and welcoming like diversity and difference, and so people can be their more authentic self. I've certainly struggled at times to bring my full self to certain environments. So I would hope, like, so I believe, like, you know, I'm unique. In certain environments, I feel more comfortable or less comfortable, like, bringing my whole self. And so I hope for folks out there listening that you do find yourselves in spaces, like, where you do feel kind of safe to be authentic, and if not, then you can be kind of moving in that direction. I encourage that.
I love that, and I love your different interpretation, but a very helpful interpretation of weird, so I like it. But yeah, I guess with that, I've asked all the questions that I wanted to, so thank you so much for coming on the podcast and yeah, having a nice chat.
Thank you so much, I've really enjoyed it.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.